I've heard it said that when you become a public figure, some people try and ride the bandwagon and other people just come after you. And wow, I've been getting it from all sides. My fantasy boys texting me, talking about my terrible trades, talking about the release dates of the podcast. And I guess just haters gonna hate. But you know what? I had a great mentor in Sean Block, who he just embraced the bad guy role. And it seems like a lot of good things have happened to him. So I think I'm going to embrace that. But I think I'll start out, you know, I'm going to apologize to the commish. I know he's really I'm apologizing because he's going to be putting out a poll soon. And I think I overstepped my bounds and I asked him to please post a poll. And if I could do it again, I don't know if I would. But the email sent, I can't really take it back. And, you know, so Christian, I'm sorry. But there's somebody else who says sorry, not sorry.
What's up, guys? So Tommy Boy asked me to record a little thing just talking about my goals for the rest of the year. So in the pod, I talk about how I'm just trying to fuck shit up now. You know, like I'm out. I know that. And my goal, I just want to maybe hurt some feelings, make Dan get a little sweaty this week. Just really, really get in people's heads. Just try to make a mark for next year. Have people thinking twice about it, you know. Whether that be make some reckless trades on a Sunday because they got to make sure they beat me to get a better seed, or maybe they just don't want their pride hurt by losing to the bottom of the barrel. But this week, I accomplished my goal. Took it to Christian, injured Christian, but, you know, just made him weep a little bit, just a little bit. Not enough to alienate the league, but just enough to make them just think twice before they come after the Kylando Magic. So, guys, I'm coming at you. You may beat me, that's true, but not before a little mental anguish comes your way.
I went through and I took a look at a lot of the trades that I offered. You know, I'd say that equitable is typically how a lot of people would probably describe me. And I typically want things to be fair. So, and I'm reflective. I think about things. If people give me fucking constructive criticism, I'm going to think about that. I'll take it to heart. And if I see an area of deficiency, I'm gonna think about it. So I did just that last week. I spent about 15 minutes looking through all the trades I offered. And I think that there are 11 people that I owe an apology to. So Adam, Chuck, John, Andy, Dan, Sean, Kyle, Christian, Ian, and JB, I'm sorry for these bad trades. But there is somebody that I guess not only did I offer a bad one, but I insulted the very fabric of who he is as a human being. And this was one that it honestly, I didn't know. I think I maybe sent it in haste, and I offered him a trade. And I met up with one of my good buddies that night at the Meanwhile. And as we're sitting there, I run into two fans of the podcast who had also run into Matt Stacks. Those fans were Christian and Andy. And they're, you know, after praising the incredible work I'm doing, they told me that they ran into Stacks, who was like visibly distraught. And it seemed that the trade that I offered to Matt in general really had a negative impact on his day, maybe on his week. So Stacks, I'm really sorry. This is very heartfelt. And at the Real Time Brad Studios, we do not, you know, we don't want to offend people that we love. And you're one of the people we love. Sorry, getting a little emotional here. But I wanted to extend a proverbial olive branch and allow for Stackarewski to be able to tell us his side of the trade. So Take it from here, Stacks.
Hello, fellow No Balls Assers. It's your current champ, Matt Stacks, a.k.a. Creature from the Stack Lagoon, reporting in from high atop Bong Mountain. Before I prepare to take on the powerhouse Blake to the Future, a.k.a. Ian, this week, I must report on something that happened this week. On Thursday, January 18th, LeTom James sent me a trade offer. Well, less of an offer and more of a slap in the face. As I sit here, staring intently at the championship ring on my finger, I think of my love for this league along with the many trade offers I have rejected since joining the No Balls Ass League in the 2015 season. And let me tell you, no other rejection adds up quite like this one. The trade seems like any other LeTom trade. Two coins, let's say the value of those coins lie between the value of a penny and a nickel. Let's call them LeTom coins. LeTom offers me two LeTom coins for a dollar. He offers me Christian's best new friend's son, Al, I'm averaging 30 points in the last 30 games, Horford, and Steven, I'm also averaging 30 points in a game, the last 30 games, Adams, for Andre, I'm a goddamn top 5 fantasy player in the last 30 games, Drummond. I'm sure you all just spit out your coffee, Coors Banquet beer, Smirnoff Ice, or what have you, all over yourself too. I texted Tom that I was less than happy with his offer and tried to reason with him as to why it was such a bad offer. As I am a man of logical thinking, I offered him a 2-for-1 offer for Jimmy Butler, where the players I offered him, in fact, were averaging more than what Horford and Adams were. Tom replied with a very well thought out, "Fuck no." Tom texted me and asked me if I would report in on this trade debacle, and I couldn't have replied faster that I'd love to. I have to say, Tom's podcast skills are an A+. His trade offering and negotiating on the other gets a Lee F-. Cheers and good luck to everyone this week, besides Tom and Ian.
You know, Aaron, I deserve that. There's really nothing I can say, but sometimes you got to take it. So I'll be taking and reflecting. If I ever need to do an addendum, I have the platform. But I'm going to kind of go from the bad, you know, bad trading time to impartial Andy. And if there's a guy in the league who thinks about things through the numbers, we know the worst spreadsheet award would go to Sean, but, Andy is a numbers guy. And that being said, he uses numbers to kind of judge and evaluate things. So I wanted to give him an opportunity to weigh something that you can't quantify in numbers. This is way too experiences. And it took him a lot of time to think about this. And he went a little wayward in his answer, but that's kind of what he gets to do. So, Andy, the floor is yours, my friend.
Good morning, No Balls Ass. This is Andy. And I wanted to share with you something that Tom asked me about for this Monday morning. So he sent me the question, if I could sit courtside for a Grizzlies game and share candy with Marc Gasol, or sit greenside at the 18th hole of the Masters and share peanuts with my favorite golfer, which would I choose and why? Well, I mean, that's a good question. I'm going to have to... I mean, right off the bat, I can't say no to my boy Marky Mark. I mean, if he's sitting courtside right before a game where he's playing and he's got some candy to offer, that's going to be my choice. If he had, you know, black licorice candy, maybe not, but I got the feeling he's going to have some pretty sweet candy sitting there for me. He might even have some sort of Spanish candy I've never had before. That could change everything. So while it would be nice to share peanuts with my favorite golfer at the 18th hole of the Masters, I think I can't resist Marky Mark. Another reason why that's my answer is I don't really have a favorite golfer. Golf is my profession, and I love watching it, and I love playing it, but I've never really picked a guy and gotten excited about him and followed him for a long period of time. Most of the time I've been following golf up until recently, it's always been Tiger Woods is the most dominant golfer, and you're either rooting for Tiger or you're rooting against Tiger. And I always kind of rooted against Tiger. But no one really had a chance to beat him, so it's hard to pick somebody as your favorite golfer knowing he's going to lose all the time. Recently, there's been a lot of good golfers, but none of them are really that dominant. So you can kind of take your pick of a bunch of different guys. Speaking of golfers, though, and while I have you guys here listening to me, I thought I'd come up with a little fun list to hopefully improve your Monday listening experience. I also think that I'm about to answer a question for you that, well, you've probably been wondering about yourself for a long time now. So I'm going to go ahead, and what I've done is I went through our league and I tried to pick the corresponding golfer in real life that represents you and your team. So I started basically in reverse order of the standings, went from last place to first place, and have chosen the golfer that best represents your team. Now, most likely, some of you guys may not have even heard of these guys. Some of you guys don't even care about these guys. But you know what? It was fun for me, and a Google search may help you know a little bit about your golf alter ego. So I'm going to start. In last place, we have Adam. So Adam's team is what we've all said his team has been stacked all year, but they've struggled. The roster is potentially the best it's ever been, but piecing together wins has been tough. So as a result, the golfer that he most mirrors would be a fellow by the name of Louis Oosthuizen. Now, Louis is a South African golfer. He's a very cool and calm gentleman. He is known for having the purest swing on tour, just like Adam's strains of weed that he promotes. His swing is pretty much perfect. Also, just like Adam's roster, it seems like it should be the perfect roster. Unfortunately, due to injuries and just not quite piecing it together, Louis hasn't won in a while. So the purest swing on tour doesn't always translate to wins. Next up, we have Kyle. So Kyle's alter ego golfer is a fellow by the name of Keegan Bradley. Now, Keegan Bradley is a big sports fan. He's from the Boston area. He grew up rooting for and watching sports. He even wears and has had created for him Air Jordan golf shoes that look like basketball shoes. Something I could see Kyle doing if he ever stepped out onto the golf course. Keegan Bradley started out his golf career very hot. Came out of nowhere, started playing really well, ended up getting a couple wins, was actually the rookie of the year, but is now going through the sophomore slump. He's changed his swing, he's changed his tempo, can't quite figure it out. So he continues to struggle, his team continues to struggle, but you know what? He's got the enthusiasm for it. Next year could be the year that he breaks out of this slump that he's in. The next team on the list is Dewey's team. Dewey's golf alter ego is Davis Love III. Davis Love III is one of the older golfers on tour. In fact, he's getting very close to being able to graduate to the Champions Tour, which is the 50 and over golf tour. I don't know how close Dewey is. Unfortunately, there isn't a Champions Fantasy League, so he's stuck with us. But Davis Love is a very consistent golfer. Doesn't really wow you, and to be honest, isn't very risky. Doesn't like to make trades very often. Doesn't like to change anything in his golf swing. Sticks with it. He's won a few times before in his career, but that was a few years ago. he hadn't really done much in the last few years until very recently he pieced it all together. And although it wasn't a big championship, it was one of the lesser golf tournaments, he came out of nowhere and won. Kind of just like Dewey came out of nowhere and beat Chuck a couple weeks ago. The interesting thing about Davis Love III, his son is starting to also play on tour. Has a lot of potential. Could be taking over the family name. Interestingly enough, his son's name is Drew Love. I find it a little interesting that John Dewey's son is named Jude. Drew. Jude. Pretty close to the same name. Something to keep an eye out. If the Dewey team starts doing some things that we don't recognize, maybe it's time to see whether or not somebody else is running that team. All right, moving on, we have John Bell. John Bell's golf alter ego is Ricky Fowler. Now, Ricky Fowler is a very good golfer. He has a lot of potential. But the interesting thing about Ricky Fowler is his brand is probably the most recognized brand in all of golf. He has created a flair that is recognized, and he has brought a company, Puma, to the forefront of golf, which previously hadn't been there before. We know John, with company Bell, is the most recognized brand in our league, and Ricky is the most has the most recognized brand in golf. Unfortunately, while that has led to a lot of success, that's led to a lot of brand success, it hasn't really translated to any championships yet. Ricky hasn't had any big tournament wins yet. So hopefully both guys can translate their brand portfolio into actual tournament wins in the near future. Next on our list, we have Sean, and Sean's golf alter ego is Phil Mickelson. So Phil Mickelson has been a winner for a long time. And while he currently isn't one of the best golfers in the world anymore, if he's playing in the tournament, you've got to keep your eye out for him. He can come out of nowhere and he can get a win. He's known for being a very polarizing golfer. Most people either love Phil or hate Phil. He's also known as the biggest trash talker in the game of skin and gets under opponents' skin anytime they have to play against him. Sounds pretty familiar with Sean's fantasy game. He also loves to take risky bets. If you're playing golf with Phil Mickelson, it is well known that you're going to be gambling for something, whether it's money or booze or potential team fandoms. You're probably betting for something. Sometimes it's not even in Sean or Phil's favor. Sometimes it's just so he can bet. Phil also is probably known as one of the biggest innovators in the world of golf, and I think Sean would probably be known as one of the only guys to have a trademarked signature move, the Texas stunt. Now, while Sean's gone away from that a lot this year, just like Phil, he hasn't been winning as much. Maybe it's time to go back to what got you those wins early on in your career. Maybe it's time to bring back the Texas stunt. All right, so next up we have Tom. Tom's alter ego is Sergio Garcia. Like Sergio, Tom has an undying love for fantasy, for the game of golf. He's been doing it since he was a kid. He's always tough. He's always near the top. He's always working hard. Puts in probably more work than any of us doing this podcast and blasting content, and for that we are very thankful for. But he's been battling for a long time. He's been pretty good. But Tom still hasn't won a championship. Now, Sergio, for the longest time, was known as the greatest golfer never to win. But until last year. Last year, he kept working hard, kept staying passionate, and finally had that breakthrough win by winning the Masters last year. And you know what? He did it without changing anything. He just did it by working hard. And you know what? Tom hasn't really changed anything in the last couple years. He's just been riding the same thing that he always has, Mr. LeBron James. So, is this the year that Tom and LeBron get a title? Or will Tom have to change something? I guess we'll find out. Next up on our list, we have Stax. His golf alter ego is Pat Perez. Pat Perez is what many people would consider a party golfer out of Southern California. He is probably taking over the legacy of John Daly. He also has the biggest mullet on tour, something that I'm actually kind of shocked Stax doesn't have. He, up until last year, he was known for partying and gambling more than actually winning. But similar to Stax, Pat Perez pieced his life together. He bought a house and cleaned up his image. And you know what? Had two wins last year. And just like Stax, who joined a nonprofit or started working for a nonprofit and started benefiting his community, and guess what? He got a championship. So while you might not think by appearance that Stax or Pat Perez is going to be the winner, guess what? They are. And if it took Pat Perez cleaning up his act and Stax joining a nonprofit to get a win, will Stax potentially take on a new hobby? Maybe knitting? Is knitting the thing that takes Stax to back-to-back championships? Either way, we know it's not going to be partying harder. It's going to be partying less. All right. Next up, we have our commissioner, Christian. Well, through conversations with Christian, I know he wants me to say Freddie Boom Boom Couples. Unfortunately, that is not who his golf alter ego is. His golf alter ego is Matt Kuchar. Now, Matt Kuchar is known on tour for being one of the most friendly, outgoing, and lovable personalities. He actually has, every time he plays, when he hits a shot or finishes a hole, he has numerous fans shouting his name, Kuchar, whenever he's out there on the golf course. So you know that he is well-loved by everyone who follows him. He's been very successful. He's made a lot of money. He's won a lot of tournaments. Year after year, he wins one or two tournaments. But unfortunately, Matt Kuchar is known for being the best golfer in the world to never have won at all. He's never won the biggest tournament in golf, a major. And unfortunately, our commissioner falls into that same category. Now, Matt Kuchar had his best chance last year, final round of a major, the British Open, and he was five holes from winning it all, and Jordan Spieth came out of nowhere to beat him. Is that similar to something that's happened in the commissioner's career? Maybe we'll have to see. Maybe there's somebody who's similar to Jordan Spieth. We'll find out. Next up, we have Ian. Ian's golf alter ego is Jon Rahm. Jon Rahm is a young Spanish golfer with a ton of potential. Also a ton of energy. Has just came out of nowhere and has a really, really good golf game. He has a slightly unorthodox swing, similar to Ian. You never really know how he's going to do it, how he's going to get a win, but he gets it. He gets the win. He has a good team. Like Ian, he's known to sometimes just disappear. Some tournaments he'll just play terrible and go away and then not play for a couple weeks, and then he'll show up a couple weeks later and win. He's also had run-ins with cussing out fans when he does poorly. Very similar to when Ian told us all to, or told us all that he was going to kick our dick into the dirt. I feel like that's a pretty similar comparison. And just like Ian's team, it had been a long time since John Rahm won. And then all of a sudden yesterday, he came out of nowhere and won the tournament in California. And you know what? Ian's team, after being injured for a couple of weeks, just came out and put up a monster week and got a monster win. Maybe Ian's on his way back. It's time to look out. All right, up next we have Dan, and Dan's golf alter ego is Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson has an unbelievable amount of potential and is a freak athlete. He is known as one of the longest hitters of the golf ball, and just like Dan's team, has probably the highest potential scoring team. He's got a very strong team, just like Dustin Johnson's strong game. Unfortunately, Dustin Johnson has had issues in the past with lacking discipline. He had a 6-month suspension for cocaine use, sometimes based on Dan's texts. Dan's either really drinking a lot of Red Bull or Mountain Dew, or you know what? I'll just stop there. It's probably the Mountain Dew. But you know what? DJ kicked his drug habit, got married, had a son, and has been winning pretty consistently ever since. Not shockingly, Dan is married, recently had a child, his second child, and you know what? Has kept his emotions pretty much under wraps in the text thread for most of this year. Maybe it's time he starts winning. Maybe this is Dan's year. All right, next we have Chuck, and Chuck's golf alter ego is Henrik Stenson. Henrik Stenson also is a Swedish golfer. I'm taking the liberty of guessing that Chuck's last name of Anderson potentially has Swedish roots, so that they start out with that connection. Henrik Stenson is known as being one of the best pure ball strikers, meaning when he hits the golf ball, he hits it more solidly than anyone else. When he gets in the zone, he becomes unstoppable. He's also involved with one of the greatest golf rounds ever, where he won a tournament. He and another guy went head-to-head, and it was one of the best golf matches to watch. Anytime you're following Chuck, Chuck's going to give you a good match. He's going to be dominant. You're going to have to bring your A game to beat him. But the one thing that really connected Chuck and Henrik Stenson is Henrik didn't start winning again after he lost his love of the game for a few years. He had a period where he just wasn't sure if he really wanted to do it anymore. And you know what? Chuck lost the love of his fantasy career very recently. Will Chuck decide that he wants to continue on? Will he find the love of the game without Nikola Jokic? Remains to be seen. So far, he's being successful, but it could all fall apart at any second, or it could translate to another championship. We'll find out. Finally, my own team, my golf alter ego, is Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth has been a winner his whole life. He had a winning pedigree in high school, in college, and now on tour. He's won at every single level, and he's always in contention. He's got a great team. Now, he's not the longest hitter or the best hitter, but when it comes down to the clutch moments, he takes care of business. He's the best putter currently in the game and has won before. Now, while last year, just like Jordan Spieth, collapsed while he was the heavy favorite in the Masters, he's coming back, and this year he is now the heavy favorite to repeat and win at the Masters. Shockingly, it seems like being in first place and having a pretty dominant team, I think it's hard to argue that I am now the heavy favorite to be the new No Balls champ this year. Well, that ends my golf alter ego list of everybody. Hope you guys enjoy it. And if you ever need golf lessons, feel free to give me a call. I'm willing to help you out for a small fee.
Speaking of small fees, Andy, you know, it would only take a small fee to sponsor the podcast. So maybe you motherfuckers could think about that a little bit more. But I know this is basketball and not that many of us in here like baseball that much. But, you know, baseball has got a position of the closer, which is an extremely important position. And I'd say the no-balls-ass closer is a pretty obvious choice. He's the man who is on a hot streak, flaming hot streak, actually, in honor of the NBA Jam 15th year anniversary. I mean, he's on fire. And this is our closer. You know, he's done great things. He's done the best with his team name. And so we're bringing in the closer to close this one out. So Dewey, take it away.
Good morning. This is John Dewey here to talk about my current hot streak. I think the best place to start would be with the definition of a streak. A streak is the act of getting naked, running around in public, only to be seen momentarily. It makes people ask, what the fuck? So I'm going to ask all of you what my streak has to do with you. Like, what the fuck is Sean bragging about? He's in eighth place. What the fuck? Why hasn't JB moved into eighth place yet and bypassed Sean? What the fuck? Chuck hates my team name because it brings him back to his broken love affair. What the fuck will I ever get a good trade request from Ian or Tom? What the fuck? Kyle smoked the commish this week. How did that happen? What the fuck? Dan hasn't blown up this year. What the fuck? Andy's crushing it with two Pistons on his team. How is that even possible when they're not even 500? What the fuck to Stacks, Chuck, Adam, and Kyle for helping me try to take over the league's eighth place spot. So, with this, Mr. Chicago, Michael Jordan lover, beer maker, corgi lover, this week, let me do the thing I like to do, beat you and continue the streak. Hashtag no balls ass. Hashtag bucket list. Hashtag suck it. Hashtag I'm coming for you. Hashtag Dewey's playoffs start this week. Oh, yeah, my hot streak. It's just getting started, baby. Just getting warm. I'm turning it up. Sean's going down this week, then Kyle, then Andy, you're going down, and lastly, Latam. I'm coming for you, bitches. If all goes well, I end up 8-10. The rest of you bottom feeders continue to lose, and Sean goes 0-4 to close out at 7-11 and just miss the playoffs. Sweet justice. Peace out.
Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't quickly mention the playoff updates. So what we had this week is Chuck is officially in. So congratulations, Chuck, for making that. We also, with a win for Sean and a loss for JB, Sean, you know, made it really look like he's the front runner for that eighth spot. Either Kyle or Dewey is out. They play each other. A lot would have to go right for them. But that hot streak Dewey's on, maybe he'll do it. And any of the 8 and 6 teams, which is Latam, the Bealings, Ian, or the Stacks Lagoon, any of them, one more win, they're in for sure. So watch out for that this week. All right, y'all. Have a great day. Good luck in your matchups this week. And you got the Kylando Magic episode to look forward to at 8 a.m. on Thursday. Real Time Brad is out.